It's the 10 to 1 podcast with your host, Brad Omen, featuring Ben Conowitz and Nate Laux. And here's the podcast.
Hey,
friends.
Good waka, you, waka, friends. Waka.
We're having a good time.
We really, listen, guys, we wanted to get this one out really early.
Right away.
We've had some struggles.
We had a couple of technical issues.
We're on the struggle bus a little bit.
But we're here, and we're going to get this out as soon as possible. I can't wait to talk to you guys about this episode. It was phenomenal.
It was I'm kind of over it.
One of my favorite episodes of the year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. It's just a great episode.
Yeah, we intended to get this one out on Monday, like right away, but then we had some technical issues, and then we were going to record it last night, but then pilots were playing terrible pranks on me and just wanted to keep circling the runway, and so we just couldn't do it.
Timeline.
So here we are recording it, and hopefully you're listening into it very soon, shortly after we recorded it Wednesday evening.
It's putting pressure on Nate.
And we know that the best time to listen to a Saturday Night Live recap is the Wednesday after the show.
Yes, so, we get it. But let's dive right in.
Ryan Gosling,
Chris Stapleton.
I do have a question about this.
He's 43.
You looked it up. Okay.
He is very handsome.
And he's also like 7 years younger than Eva Mendes. And she's just still, I mean, just a
fox.
A treasure. Yeah. A treasure. But do you guys find that Ryan Gosling is a total dilf?
I mean, I don't know what phrase whatever you want to use that describes his overall hotness and appeal.
He's charming.
Yeah.
He's musical.
He's one of those people who it's infuriating how much talent and beauty and charisma and just all of these things. Like, you can't be this funny and handsome and good at dramatic acting.
Yeah,
and
nobody should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's unfair.
But here we go. All right, Ryan Gosling, third episode of Saturday Night Live. This is his first time hosting. The first time was December 5th, 2015. The second time was September 30th, 2017. I'm going to ask this.
Wasn't it December?
September 30th, 2017 was his second time.
Did he host at Christmas in 2015?
Yeah, December 5th.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that one. Yeah, okay.
And in 2017, listeners, was the first episode for current cast member Heidi Gardner, current cast member and just the biggest crush that Ben has, probably, Heidi Gardner. We had a lot of cameos this episode, including Kate McKinnon, Emily Blunt.
Spoiler alert.
Caitlin Clark, who I thought, we're going to talk about that, did a fairly good job. And then Kyle Mooney in Kyle Mooney fashion comes back on SNL in a cut for time sketch.
Of course.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Crazy. It's actually perfect. I didn't even think about that until you said it just now. That's a perfect way to get it there. I love it.
All right. Let's move on. Close Encounter, Cold Open. Three friends played by Ryan Gosling, Kate McKinnon, and Sarah Sherman are being questioned by the NSA and SETI after experiencing another alien abduction. This is a recurring sketch they've done now 8 times. The first one was on Ryan Gosling's first episode in December 5th, 2015, and they've done it on now all 3 of his episodes. Do you guys know who else were on the Close Encounter episodes that they've done, or Close Encounter sketches, any of the other celebrities?
Brie Larson.
Correct.
Casey Affleck.
Yep.
Who was in the...
Did Cecily Strong do it when she
Well,
hosted?
She was
one of the main...
She was playing the other...
Yeah. Has she hosted since she's been gone?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Not yet.
Hopefully they'll bring her back. Liev Schreiber.
There you go.
Yep.
And then Paul Rudd.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about Paul Rudd's.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the other one was Natasha Lyonne, which we'd covered on this episode, or covered on this podcast.
There you go.
All so right. Those are the other ones on there.
And now what's interesting about this is the last time they did a Close Encounter sketch, that was Kate McKinnon's farewell episode. And she used the sketch to say goodbye, and it was called The Final Encounter.
Correct.
But apparently not.
Those aliens dropped her back off.
Yeah.
And then picked her back up.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of this one? I thought it was hilarious. Listen, as usual.
I laughed my juicer and my deucer off. Okay. My south mouth could not have more fun. This, I was hanging on every word.
They added an element of physical comedy to this.
Oh, when, my God.
When Kate McKinnon is, you know, kind of going all over Ryan Gosling and looking up, you know, his crotch.
So this is interesting. I'd forgotten about this. They actually added a physical element in the second one.
Did they?
Because she pokes around his butt and he also loses it.
I didn't remember that. Yeah.
And the only reason I know this is because I literally just listened to an episode of The Good One that is all about the Close Encounter sketches where Jesse David Fox talks to Kate McKinnon. So that was they talked about, you know, the inception of it and all that kind of
thing. Is there anything from that podcast you learned or anything else?
So Kate McKinnon counts the original Close Encounter sketch as one of her like top three all-time favorite SNL moments, because she said like you could just feel the energy as the sketch was going on, that like it was soaring and everyone was loving it, and like she just like absolutely cherishes that sketch.
That's got to be the best feeling, especially when, as a sketch performer, as you know, a lot of times it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
You know, you got that 1 out of 10 average that's at least good, and maybe 1 out of 100 that's great, and 1 out of 1,000 that's an all-timer.
Yeah.
You know, that's so that, because that is an all-timer, right? That's an incredible sketch.
And one of the best things about starting this episode was there was no political cold open. Mm-hmm. It started just hot, right? It just started hilarious. And I wonder,
we've now had 2 episodes in a row where there was not a political cold open.
Which means people at the show listen to our podcast, which is great.
I think we knew that. Lauren is a regular listener. But like, I do think, though, it sets the rest of the tone for the episode.
Absolutely.
When the first one goes really well. Yeah,
because you can't deny that the audience is just now primed and ready to laugh.
Yep.
It's just like at a comedy club where you have an opener and a feature before you have a headliner, because you don't want the headliner to go out there cold. So I know that they obviously have warm-up comics, you know, at SNL for real, but I think that it kind of resets when the show starts. And if you bomb right off the bat, it's hard to get them back sometimes.
Yeah, you have to know, or you have to think that the cast members feel,
of course,
those cold opens that aren't working all that well, right? And so, okay, we're going to do the monologue. Usually they can get them back in the monologue, but when it starts hot like that, it's just... It was great.
It's a damn rocket ship to the moon.
Just good stuff all around. This was just, a hell of a way to start the episode. And the fact that they were able to get Kate McKinnon back for it, too.
Especially since she got to wear Ryan Gosling like a hat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Ryan Gosling monologue, written by Ryan Gosling, Mike DiCenzo, Dan Bulla, and Jake Norwin. I think it was Mike DiCenzo that said that a lot of this idea for the Ken stuff came from Ryan Gosling himself. He had the concept. Funny. They just helped him write it. Ryan Gosling, hosting for the third time, reminisces about his role as Ken in the Barbie movie. Obviously, they played this well because Ken is getting a little dated now, right? Mm-hmm. This everyone's kind of over Barbie, but
it had its moment.
That Ryan Gosling is still holding on to it is a great little comedy bit that they were able to do. The song was good, and then bringing Emily Blunt in was fun. Right. And I'll admit this. I will be a man and admit this. Got a crush on Emily Blunt. And so she's not just
bringing Emily Blunt in, but then turning it into an Oppenheimer moment and then a Barbenheimer song. Bring all those things together.
And then doing the physical stunt work to bring the Fall Guy into the play.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
A really great, fun, finely tuned monologue that has music and jokes and just a lot of great stuff in it.
Yep. And right, I mean, you're on SNL typically to promote something, right? You've got a movie, you've got a TV show, you've got something going on that you want people's attention on. And they were able to do that with Fall Guy, right? They were able to bring that in even though they're talking about Barbenheimer. So really well done. Ryan Gosling, again, just so charming. All right, moving on. The Engagement, written by Jake Norwin, Mike DiCenzo, Jimmy Fowley, and Kira O'Sullivan, a newly engaged couple played by Ryan Gosling and Chloe Fineman, shares the good news with their friends, Ego Wodum and Andrew Smukes. Brad, am I saying that right? Ryan Gosling's continuous whisper on this just sold this for me.
God. Did you see the strain in his neck to do it?
Yep.
I did notice he was, when I whisper, I'm whispering. But man, he was really,
well, because
it's really a forced whisper.
You're yelling whispering.
It has so to be. Good. It's like a talk, right?
Yeah.
So he's changing his voice to sound like a whisper.
I don't want to do this.
But Dismukes was just brilliant in this. I loved this sketch. What did you guys think?
Yeah, no, it was, it, the escalation was good.
Oh, so good.
But just the fact that I think Dismukes was my favorite part.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling's doing a lot of heavy lifting with the whisper, yeah, right? But Dismukes' reaction or not reaction or whatever, like everything was just, I don't want to be a part of this. It was perfect. He you played know, it perfectly.
I'll say this too, because we've been a little bit critical about some of the direction of some of these sketches. This was a back and forth ping pongy type of sketch between Dismukes and Gosling. And there was a lot of like facial comedy in this, and they hit it. They hit the marks on this. It was, I thought it was, yeah, it was just on fire the whole time.
100%. Even though they had that moment where Chloe Fineman walked in a little early.
Yeah.
It's like, this was one of those episodes where the momentum was there. It was so good. And like, they just like, it didn't interrupt anything.
Everyone seemed to be operating on.
I keep driving to the airport and I can't get on the plane.
I also felt this ended, right? And it was a fine ending. Like, because how do you end some of these sketches, right? But it was a fine ending. He left the conversation there. But as a whole, I thought the sketches kind of ended fine this episode, too. Like, there was no super awkward ending of sketches, which there always are.
They didn't tack on a White Castle logo on something, you know. It was just, they just knocked it out of the park this week.
Spectacular. And also, I'm going to make sure that I get sound bites of Ryan Gosling saying my name, too.
Brad, am I saying that right?
Get That Boy Back featured Chris Stapleton, written by Chloe Trost, Ben Marshall, Martin Herlihy, John Higgins, Jimmy Fowley, and Kira O'Sullivan. A group of women, played by Ego Wodum, Chloe Fineman, and Chloe Trost, sing a song about getting revenge on the men who betrayed them. Heidi Gardner plays Chris Stapleton's mom.
Mother.
And does just fantastic in this. She just made me laugh so many different times. The concept was funny enough. It wasn't great, but it was funny enough. The song was fine.
I disagree. I think the concept is great.
I think the concept is fine.
It's a simple concept, but it's executed spectacularly because the song is catchy. You have a thing where you have two normals and a weird. And I love Chloe Trost's brand of weird in this kind of sketch.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because she was just crazy weird?
Yeah, because it's just a totally like...
Sorry to interrupt. I think that we're on the same page here, though. It's not that it's like Kristen Wiig weird, where like small hands and right, just disgusting weird. It's just like kind of like psycho weird.
Yeah,
but like
it was like, yeah, weird, psychotic.
Yeah, it's the same thing with that one sketch with the when she was the orphan, you know?
Yeah, yes.
And they even play it where Ego Wodum kind of gives her a look a couple times about like,
yeah, okay, they both get really uneasy, like, what's going on?
Also, Chris Stapleton can act.
Yeah, he was fantastic in this. But like, yeah, I love just the idea of how obsessive she is of like the swapping of the shoes and the like hiding in the house and like the intense camouflage paint.
And you'll notice that, right, the first lyric is lipstick on the hood and then the keying of the car, and then so they are literally escalating in that way, and I love that because it's a very well executed sketch.
But yeah, what's wrong with you, Nate?
No, I thought it was good. Maybe because it was such a great episode that this one wasn't the one that caught my attention.
This was great.
This one isn't even, I think, towards the bottom of the night.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. But you guys didn't mention Heidi Gardner, how great she was.
Heidi Gardner was fantastic, of course. I just don't like it when they make her old.
I would have thought that would have gotten you going.
I will say the whole like when he's what was it? He's on the phone and she's like talking about like that's the lady on the wall.
Yeah, the Romanian.
The Romanian is the lady on the wall.
Maybe that's why.
There we go. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Can't Tonight, written by Marcelo Hernandez, Mike DiCenzo, and John Higgins. Two men, played by Ryan Gosling and Marcelo Hernandez, are trying to convince their friend, played by Kenan Thompson, to go out with them.
And the original Beethoven.
And you're the only one that can do that in this room, and we're going to give that to you.
Not just because I'm half Mexican, but because you guys are terrible at accents.
And I also did not marry a Cuban woman.
Nope. So what did you guys think of this? Did you like this? Is it?
Hey, Brad, can you say Paramount Plus?
Paramount Plus.
But he's no, there's no S.
Oh,
no,
Paramount Plus.
That's exactly
Hulu.
Hulu was my favorite.
I thought it was funny the idea of like this gringo, right, marrying a Cuban, and all of a sudden he becomes this like Cuban man. You know?
My favorite thing about it though is that that's just one small joke in the larger sketch. Like this kind of feels like a 10-to-1 sketch in a way because like what they're talking about doing, like going and clubbing with the original dog from Beethoven,
who would be in his mid-30s, by the way.
this one was just really funny to me. Like, and Sarah Sherman coming up saying, "Oh, I hear some accents. I love countries."
Yeah.
And then again, I like countries and places.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like the weird pause, like, so I'll be back with your drinks. It was almost like that was a mistake. That's how stilted that was, but it wasn't.
No,
it was
not at
perfect.
All.
It was perfect.
Yeah, this was hilarious.
This is very funny. Okay, what's wrong with you, Nate?
I like this one.
No, you said it was fine. Okay.
I thought it was fine. It was good.
To be fair, I didn't hear him say it was fine.
Okay. I'm just trying to pile it on.
I didn't know I said it was fine. I thought it was good.
Gaslight Nate, my favorite thing to do.
I was like, I don't know.
Unlike when Michael B. Jordan had to do an accent that was similar to Marcelo Hernandez's, Ryan Gosling was actually good at his accent. So.
Yeah. And it does help that they give an excuse as well, like, because I would not have liked to see it if they didn't explain why he was doing it.
Yeah,
it would have been very awkward. But
yeah, maybe
marrying a Cuban woman
well,
does that to you. You
since
know,
he did marry a Cuban woman in real life.
Yeah, so. He's a little bit more street cred than we do.
Absolutely,
that's fine. It's right. Whatever. It's
now fine. Let's talk about the one that is blowing
that
up the internet.
Yeah,
Beavis and Butthead, a live stream event on AI hosted by News Nation, was interrupted by two audience members played by Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day, who are dressed like, who look like,
look suspiciously like Beavis and Butthead.
This audience character thing they did in 2018, if you guys remember, Mikey Day was Bart Simpson.
I have forgot that entirely.
Yeah, no, this was derived with the same idea.
But Streeter Seidel and Mikey Day had said that they wanted to get the Beavis and Butthead. This has been in the works for 5 years.
Yeah.
They've been wanting to do it ever since, and it's gone to table read. It's been cut. It's been cut. And Brad had sent us an article. What was that article from?
It's from Vulture.
From Vulture.
They interviewed Heidi Gardner to ask her, because she had the big moment where she broke, like, in one of the biggest ways, like, anyone can break.
And it's because even though this has been coming up for 5 years, they never got it to the point where there was costume.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And actually, so funnily enough, Heidi also said that there was a one that got to table read, and she was just an audience member in it.
Yes.
So she didn't have the same role.
Right.
So it never got to dress, so they never reached that point.
I had to pause it and walk up to my screen to see Mikey Day's gums.
Yeah.
Because from far away, it looks like a mustache.
Right.
And so I seriously paused it and got up there, and I started laughing even when it was still paused. This was fucking perfect.
It was hilarious. Just an amazing blend of just, like, this original idea. Like, sure, it's technically a recurring bit, but, like, the fact that they used Beavis and Butthead in this way and didn't just do, like, a live action movie trailer or something
back,
like
of
that.
Of all the people to bring back, Beavis and Butthead, that was the absurdest of it all. Like, characters I don't think about at all.
Right.
Right?
But yeah, it's like,
but everyone knows.
Was there a part of you at the beginning of the sketch that was worried they were doing something topical, like a political sketch?
No,
no.
I did until she finally.
Because you're waiting for it, right?
Well, because it was News Nation.
Yeah.
And then so you're talking about AI.
With the AI stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, so you thought maybe this is going to be a political thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So the fact that it veered into something completely different was so refreshing.
So they not only do they do, you know, like, the first laugh for me was obviously when I see Ryan Gosling, right? But then when Kenan Thompson goes, with the blonde pompadour. Like, I haven't heard the word pompadour in a decade. And it was just so funny
people
to hear him say
talking about Kenan much when they're talking about the sketch. He was fantastic in this.
It was great.
Do you want him to move too? Yes.
And he didn't break at all.
No.
Like, he did not break. And
well, he was grinning while
let me ask you a question. Do the extras, do they have...
They were fantastic.
Do they have earplugs in?
I doubt it.
No. I mean, because seriously, they were perfect. I would have died.
Well, but I was watching one of them, and none of them broke.
And none
of them even grinned.
I don't even think it's like, even if they couldn't hear, it's a visual gag. Like, there's no way you're not like.
Yeah, I know, but they're just really good then.
Because Heidi Gardner wasn't laughing because what someone said. It's the sight of Mikey Day and Ryan Gosling
or Chloe Fineman when they turn around and they look.
Yeah,
at her,
she couldn't do it either.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that there must be something preventing these people from getting the whole full picture, because that's really hard to do.
Maybe
so
they're just humorous.
So, hey, maybe the writers or creators don't listen to the show, but maybe one of you extras that was in there, you know, if you're listening right now, kudos. Good job.
Yeah, I was very much impressed. But, man, watching Heidi break, because she rarely
breaks.
And the fact that she broke in such a dramatic way.
Really big.
It was one of those laughs. You guys have had it before.
She can't stop.
When you can't stop and you're supposed to stop laughing.
Yeah.
And it just won't, your body won't let you stop. That's where she was, right?
And she even said in the interview, too, that, like, it made her feel like while she was talking about an interview, she started feeling worse and unprofessional because she saw them in full makeup in dress rehearsal. So it wasn't the first time she'd seen them in the live show. She'd already seen it. She knew it was coming, but she still couldn't handle it.
I also like that, of course, the bit being that they don't know that this is the first time I'm hearing there's a character that I look like. And the normal voice coming out of those two, right?
Yeah.
So they did. I like that because they could have had Ryan Gosling try to do like, well, I don't know. I've never had like a weird.
Right, exactly.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
I love that.
But then it's like, you're sitting just like they sit
on the show.
Oh, you sat them next to each other.
and then of course they do laugh like each other, which is great. Right. But yeah, he's like, I'm Brian. I'm Jeff or whatever. Oh God, that was so good.
Heidi Gardner also mentioned that one of the things, so there's two things that she kind of pinpointed other than just the pure look of Mikey Day and Ryan Gosling that seemed to have broken her. She said one of them was that in the live show, Mikey seemed to have done like an eye bulge as like a recognition when she looked at her, which kind of sent her down the thing. And then she said she also got it in her head for whatever reason. It took her back to being a kid. And she talked about the movie Warriors of Virtue. Do you guys remember this movie?
I do not.
It's this fantasy movie that is about these kangaroo warriors that have like full on prosthetic.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, like face makeup, animatronic stuff, kind of like Ninja Turtles in a way. It came out in like 1997. She said her and her friends saw it and like they were laughing at it so much because of that. And she said that kind of like took her back because it kind of felt like the same thing because the makeup was so good on Mikey and Ryan.
Yeah. Kudos to the costume department. Seriously. I mean, you guys crushed it. That was fantastic.
Think about the history of the sketches we've seen over the years. And the breaks, right? Sometimes you have a kind of a smile or a little laugh, but there have been some sketches where it just goes off the rails. I think of
Debbie Downer is the one that I think of the most.
Debbie Downer,
that's one of the biggest ones.
Disney, particularly the Disney one.
And the line is, I believe it's like, I just found out I can't have kids.
Yeah.
And I just remember they all were just like pressing into their faces because it was so hard.
The other
hard.
One is The Lovers with Barbara and Dave or John or something like that. The one where Will Ferrell is in the hot tub.
That's another
one where they just kind of lose it, right? Yeah. Even Will Ferrell, who never loses it in that one. And I don't know. Can you think of any else?
He stifled it, but it was one of like the biggest, heartiest laughs that I think he's had. And there was that recent one when they did Lisa from Temecula, and she said that line, and Bowen Yang just like immediately guffawed so loudly.
Yeah,
I just love when that stuff happens organically, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, no Jimmy Falloning around.
What do you mean?
Never mind.
All right, moving on.
Jimmy Fallon is a serious man.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Oh, I listened to the podcast that they did, Strike Force 5, with the five, I think I told you guys about this last time, the five late night hosts did during the...
Yes.
And he makes fun of himself in that podcast for breaking. And he's like, I just find things very funny. And he's like, and I just was so bad at it because I just like... You just look.
He was just having so much fun.
Yeah, and he's like, that's why I'm not a great sketch actor. Though he would do, I forgot how good Jimmy Fallon is at his impressions.
His impressions are fantastic.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He does good impressions.
He's very, very good at it. I didn't.
He should have just stuck to that.
All right, moving on. Weekend update. Trump's abortion ban claims O.J. Simpson dies at 76. Golden Bachelor divorce. New York City considers giving rats birth control. The Weekend Update anchors Colin Jost and Michael Che tackled the week's biggest news, like Arizona reinstating an abortion law from 1864. Ben, for our new listeners,
hold on. Before we get into that, I have my first question about Weekend Update that I've ever had, and it's about a joke, and I just didn't get it, so I'm going to ask.
Oh, okay.
The 1864 abortion law stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
They made a joke about cocaine and. Prayer being the only two things that a doctor prescribes.
Yeah.
And then
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Cocaine Saturday, church Sunday.
I get that, but also I guess maybe it is. So that was the joke.
As far as I
that's kind of
because he, so the way he ordered the words though, he said prayer and cocaine Saturday, Sunday. And so he said
cocaine in a Bible. Saturday,
No. He said they, if you, I watched it twice cause I was not, I didn't know why you wanted
to rewatch it.
It was the prayer, whatever, prayer or Bible first, and then cocaine. But then he said Saturday, Sunday. So I didn't really. It didn't follow.
Okay.
So that's all.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
All right. Ben, while you're talking, will you please, for our new listeners, explain the barometer first? And while we do that, Brad, write your number down.
I believe you already did.
Done.
I think you already did. So
don't
we
try and peek.
We make, well, I did not. Brad, write this down. A number between 1 and 100 that describes the interaction between Colin Jost and Michael Che insofar as their level of having fun with one another.
Together.
Now, Nate has posited that, yes, if we can update and the jokes are going well overall, this will increase the number anyway. I think that it doesn't influence it that much, however.
Mm-hmm. I'm right, you're wrong, but that's
fair. I will say, it was, to me, that was very high this week. They interacted directly. There were plenty of moments. I mean, there's like three moments where they interacted directly.
Yeah, I'm going 90.
Actually, I was going to say 92.
That's 90 what?
No, I was going to say 90 as well. I'm not joking.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, 90.
Together. We're going to say 90.
Okay.
Brad, what is it?
Oh, 85.
Oh, come on.
Jeez.
You're such a rascal.
So why didn't you like this one?
Yeah.
Why'd you hate this?
Why did you hate it?
I did really like this one. I would have liked them to interact a little bit more.
Oh, my God. This was so much interaction.
It was so much. They were having
so
fun.
Much.
They were having a lot.
Much.
They were having a lot. It wasn't joke swap.
If the barometer was ranking the interaction between Michael Che and Caitlin Clark, sure.
Colin Jost literally teed her up and then said, unlike Che, I respect, or whatever. Like they were having fun at each other's expense. This was, your bread upper is broken.
No, not bro.
No, we do need to get it recalibrated.
It's true.
For
we'll take him to the shop.
So any jokes other than the abortion joke, prayer and cocaine joke stand out to you guys that you liked?
I mean,
anytime you include a Mitch McConnell picture, I'm happy.
Of course.
Seen here.
Doing something. Right?
Seen here, and this time it was...
learning that a black woman recorded a country music.
Did a country song. Ballsy of Michael Che to do a, well, not ballsy, I'm sure she knew about it, but to do an apron joke, you know, right before Caitlin Clark comes out, that's still pretty funny. Overall, pretty good. The 1864 stuff was fine. You know what I really wish, though, is that they would have cut to a Norm Macdonald clip of O.J. Simpson.
I really missed, having the Norm Macdonald quip in there. I feel like they should have done something to, like, reference because he just let him have it over the years. If you haven't watched it or you didn't experience.
Norm Macdonald was right.
There is a like 11-minute supercut featuring like pretty much all of the.
It's actually
jokes.
Broken into two. It's 20 minutes long.
Oh, it's okay.
There's a supercut one and two.
So
of just
where Norm Macdonald just did jokes.
Shits all over O.J. Simpson.
It's incredible. So yeah, I wish they would have done a cut to like
a little, or at least a little homage to that nod or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm sure that they, again, Lorne Michaels is still in charge of the show. Maybe he thought that would have been inappropriate because he's dead now. And I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, well, he was a good man.
I know. Like, that's the thing. I don't get that. You know, why not shit on a guy
exactly.
that was a fucking
Fuck
murderer?
That guy.
All right. Moving on. Weekend update bit. Resident boyfriend Michael Longfellow on weaponized incompetence. Resident boyfriend Michael Longfellow stops by Weekend Update to discuss weaponized incompetence. You know, Kate is his real girlfriend in real life. So that was fun. His apology to Kate at the end.
Who's his girlfriend?
Kate.
Who?
Her name's Kate, Brad.
How do you know that?
I looked it up. I Googled, does Michael Longfellow have a girlfriend? Yes, it's Kate.
You sure it's not just part of the bit?
No, it really is Kate, because I saw her on his Instagram. He said,
as far as the Michael Longfellow bits go, not near the top for me.
Yeah.
However, it was a little off here and there. I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I felt so too. I felt like he didn't find the rhythm in some of the, because his is a very patient type of comedy, right?
What did you think about his cadence, Brad? Because I think that's the thing. Like normally there's a good, he's got a good flow to it.
Exactly. And it takes a second, but it gets you.
Yeah. There was something that felt a little bit off it didn't ruin it or anything. It was still really funny. And he's just got like a confidence about him that works for that kind of
Michael Longfellow, ladies. It's just a name. Small penis joke. Like, I love that.
And I also love that, like, because I was supposed to pick up our cat from the vet, and I'm just realizing now as I'm talking that I forgot to do it.
Oh, no, I honestly, there's enough in here that I still really liked it. I don't think you swap that out for something different. I mean, I still think this is a very, very strong update character. I love when he stops by the desk. So
He hasn't been on the desk for a while, so it was good to have him back.
He hasn't been in too many sketches either. No.
Well, he was in the Beavis and Butthead sketch.
Yes,
he was.
Oh, that's actually a really, really funny part about that, where the whole Beavis and Butthead guys like looking around, like they're not talking about me, right? And then he points to Michael Longfellow, yeah. and he has to say, "Dude, he's talking about you." Yeah. It's so good,
Longfellow.
Oh, Longfellow.
It's just a name. All right. Weekend Update bit, Caitlin Clark on the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark stops by Weekend Update to discuss women's sports and the WNBA draft. I really liked how Colin Jost brings in the clip, right, of Michael Che.
Just going on and on about women's
which
basketball.
Which is why I gave the barometer a 90, because again, over and over again, there was a lot of fun that the two hosts were having.
Especially after... Michael Che says a joke, and then it cuts to Colin to do the next joke, and he goes, "Wait, did that eventually get an applause? Like there was
some good stuff, yeah, but it wasn't like an all time, 90s high."
Caitlin Clark, for being a professional athlete, delivered those lines fine. She didn't flub a line. It was of course reading off the cues and being serious about it.
For
it
being the first time she's probably ever done anything like that,
a college student,
yeah, honestly, yeah. Just. Just by not flubbing the lines is just huge. But then also waiting for the audience enough, because that's really hard. Even professional actors screw that up. Well, they think they go way too early and then you can't hear what they're saying or whatever. Yeah. She did fine.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, because sometimes they bring on people that have their cultural moment in history right after and it's not that great.
No.
And I thought this was pretty funny, actually.
Michael Phelps.
Is that what happened?
No, he was pretty
good. No, he was
good,
great, actually. Yeah. Wait a minute. I did like that, and because Che's like, "Do you write these? You really wrote these?" I'm just like, "Yeah, it was great."
I also think that they did a thing too where
he didn't read them beforehand.
Yeah, because I think Che knew that Caitlin was coming on the show, but I don't think he knew the jokes because the way he was reacting and reading them.
The first read, he was taking his time and going very slow. So I'm like, okay, this is probably.
I don't think he knew that the jokes were coming.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that. The browner should have gone up a little bit more because of that.
Colin didn't do that though. That's just
he's one of the writers.
Oh my god,
he probably wrote all of them actually.
Oh, look at me. I want to know how the barometer works. Wah.
Yeah, we do.
Which is like a little bit of scientific method behind this.
I got your scientific method
right
here.
I think he looked at us and he says, "They're going to go high this week. I'm going to dumb it down
exactly,
a little bit."
Because I don't want them to get...
In his heart, it's a 90.
No.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
My heart's 85.
Mm, yeah, well.
Barometer don't lie.
Mm. All right. Moving on. Speaking of lying, Doctor, written by Bowen Yang, Mike DiCenzo, and Jake Norwin, a medical team played by Bowen Yang and Ryan Gosling, delivers news to a family consisting of Heidi Gardner, Andrew Dismukes, James Austin Johnson, and Chloe Trost. I thought this would almost be an Andrew Dismukes type of sketch as well. He was obviously in it, but he was not one of the writers. This was Bowen Yang's brainchild. What did you guys think of this? Obviously,
it wasn't my fault.
The wig.
The wigs were crazy. Also, there was an AirPod inside of him when we started.
I didn't kill him.
Did you guys also catch where Heidi Gardner starts laughing?
Yes.
Again? Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not just the camera. It's because Molly Carney hit Bowen Yang with the wheelchair, and then
that's another one.
But then Ryan Gosling is holding the camera backwards, and as she laughs, she was having a fun time.
She was having a fun episode.
Yeah. Yeah. She was high as fuck.
Oh yeah, Molly Carney though hitting.
You can tell they felt so bad after ramming the wheelchair into Bowen Yang's ankle, and that must have hurt like a bitch too.
I didn't really notice it that bad. I'm gonna have to go actually rewatch that.
Oh, it is just a hard hit right when they're
maybe
wheeled in.
Maybe I looked away or something. I must have missed that.
It was hilarious.
I'll check that out. That's hilarious.
It was probably the funniest part of the
so
thing.
Okay, keep going. Sorry.
My favorite part actually is the when they're over on the side and they're feeding each other the cookie crumbles, because Bowen Yang keeps trying to give Ryan some and he doesn't take it, but he gives Bowen like three spoonfuls.
So I almost crushed up Ryan cookies Gosling's upstairs body. And wrote cookie crumbles and brought them down as a snack for us.
Ryan Gosling's body's
they're cookie
temple.
Crumbles.
They're cookie crumbles.
I just loved how like
it's so silly
and how simple like the voices were. Like it was just a little like adjustment in like their tone of voice and cadence, and like it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, good job, guys. Again, a good sketch.
James Austin Johnson. Yeah, actually, I like the idea of the cookie crumbles.
All right, moving on. Final sketch of the live show. Aaron Brockovich, written by Jake Norwin, Allison Gates, and Chloe Feynman. In a deleted scene from the movie, Aaron Brockovich, a man played by Ryan Gosling, introduces himself to his new neighbor, Chloe Feynman, playing Aaron Brockovich. I thought this was fine. I thought...
Have you seen Aaron Brockovich?
Not lately. That's what I thought. Maybe I would have liked it better. I hear, anyway, that Chloe Feynman's Aaron Brockovich is dead on. It's
yeah,
so
I,
good.
Well, listening to it, I was like, oh my gosh, she really like sounds like Julia Roberts as Aaron Brockovich.
She thanked her vocal coach on her Instagram for coaching
really
her on how to do Aaron Brockovich. But
this
like,
sketch was good. But I really think that there were so many missed opportunities for like the last word, friends, and like the, what you're going to say next. I just wish they would have had more time to come up with more.
I do wonder if this got pared down from like being more, especially since this is one of those Turner Classic Movies ones and they didn't do or anything like that. And so like the fact that they did like a rushed like video opening for it makes me feel like they
but
knew.
But man, I there's something there though. That's a really funny premise, and like to end on the word and then start the next character off. It's a game, you know. Yeah. I really like the premise.
I
wanted more.
I still thought it was really funny, and like,
I laughed,
especially because like ending with Kenan Thompson doing those sounds. God, that karate sound.
Kenan was I think my favorite part.
Just amazing,
it.
And like
hilarious.
and they laugh again. Like even Chloe laughs because of Kenan Thompson's karate sound.
No, it's again no bad sketches tonight.
Not at all.
We're
not even
done
because this is the first time I have ever seen at the end of an episode of SNL or right before the end, they actually tell people to go watch.
Yeah, they advertise a couple times sketch,
which is rare.
Now, do you think this is because it was like this is so good we just it's literally cut for time. We don't know what else to cut, and we want to direct people there because they really wish they could have kept it as part of the show for the first time.
Well, I think that it's one of those sketches where like it's already done, so like they're going to put it out there, you know. Like
also, it was 6 minutes long.
Yeah,
so it's not like they could have just squeezed it in.
That's the thing, and it
wasn't actually cut for time.
And they try to favor the live sketches over the pre-recorded sketches.
That makes sense. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they released it though.
All right, let me read about it real quick. Papyrus 2, written by Julio Torres. In this Cut for Time sketch, Steven, played by Ryan Gosling, is confronted with the very thing he has been trying to avoid after spending years working to overcome it. The sketch also includes Ego Wodum, Sarah Sherman, Mikey Day, and former cast member Cal Mooney. I think it was Julio Torres that said on his Instagram or his Twitter, essentially, because people were like, oh, this should have made the actual show. And he's like, it's really not the practice of SNL to include a sketch that's three times longer than regular, you know, to be in this, because it was long.
Yeah.
But it was long, but it was production-wise.
It was worth it.
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was a great addition to first Papyrus sketch.
I honestly think it's even better than the original Papyrus sketch. Yeah, just the way it plays out. Like, it has a proper beginning, middle, and end. Like, I love the build up to like what actually happens. I like that it actually gives the character like a good ending.
Julio Torres is not a current writer on SNL. Correct?
No, they brought him back just for this.
Yeah, because he was a writer on SNL, and then did you watch his HBO special?
No.
It was one of the most unique things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I remember seeing previews
it's
for
called
it.
Like My Favorite Shapes or something.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch
it. It's a conveyor belt type thing where he just brings out shapes and talks about them.
Yeah.
But then there's comedy, obviously, out of that. It's just his brain.
Kind of Dimitri Martin-esque.
Yeah, but even more absurdist.
Yeah.
Like an absurdist Dimitri Martin. Really, really funny guy.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
He is, if you're familiar with Los Espookies.
Yeah, Los Espookies was, I believe it's
a Spanish
series.
Language series. Yeah, Fred Armisen's in it. And,
yeah, he's a writer, executive director, and is the main role of that. But yeah, he was on SNL for a number of years as a writer. And they brought him back just for this.
That's awesome. So that I'm assuming he wrote the first Papyrus then in 2017?
Yeah, I assume. Yep.
Papyrus bold.
But yeah, just the escalation in this one, the storytelling is great. Making his last name Wingdings.
Yeah, that was great. I also thought what was going to happen in this sketch is that he was truly just on a first date. And then when it comes to find out that he picked her out.
It's a whole
plan. It escalated crazy. Yeah. Like, I loved it, yeah.
Did you notice that there's a subtitle for Papyrus at the end that's in Wingdings font?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you look up what it says?
No. But I actually, what I did notice is that I don't think that's correct because there's more characters than, so it says something longer than the word Papyrus then.
No, it says. Yeah, it's meant to mimic Avatar: The Way of Water.
Oh, gotcha.
And it was The Way of Steve.
Nice.
So, what did you guys think about?
Did you look that up, or where'd you read that?
No, I had to look it up. Because,
no,
but
no, some like you read it somewhere, or you looked at like you found.
No.
You did the research yourself.
No, God, no. I would have if somebody didn't do it, but I checked Reddit and they had already cracked it on Reddit. Gotcha.
All right. Well, that's the episode. Again, if you've not gone to the Saturday Night Live YouTube page to watch Papyrus 2, you definitely should. It's also just beautiful. Like, it is a well-made.
Yeah. Again, the production value.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Plus, you get to see our old friend Kyle Mooney again.
Oh, God. I love Kyle Mooney.
Who does great in it. Let's talk about Sketch of the Night. Yeah. I'm going to go with.
Can't wait.
I would like to go.
Hold on. Can we just take Beavis and Butthead out, because that would be it no matter what.
Beavis and Butthead's my choice.
Yeah, it's gonna be my choice.
But yeah, it's gonna be a choice for everybody. So, like, what was your second favorite sketch then? Because that one it's an all timer.
But that's my choice.
Yeah. What would be your second if you couldn't choose that one?
I mean, you're really throwing this on us. Yeah, you're taking the wind out of our sails.
I would say probably I liked the engagement a lot.
Okay.
Take your time. It's a podcast. It's fine. We got time. We had time.
We're going to pick Beavis and Butthead because, like,
I mean, you can. No, we all did.
We all did. Oh, I didn't know you did. I didn't know you liked it.
Yeah. I hated it.
I wish I could pick Beavis and Butthead.
Fine. Beavis and Butthead, then I guess. Oh my God.
Close Encounters would have been my second favorite. But I did. But I did really like the engagement as well.
It would have been Beavis and Butthead, Close Encounters, and then the engagement.
Yeah, I'd probably say that too. I forgot about Close.
So now everyone's changing because Brad made a good point.
I was looking at the sketches to look through for my second place, and I just didn't include the cold open.
Because the cold open is never good.
That's never included in my, which one's the best.
Honestly, the monologue could have been one of the sketches of the night. You know
my MVP of the night? The hair and makeup department.
Wow.
Honestly,
mine was Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, mine's Ryan Gosling too.
I'm giving it the hair and makeup, that the doctor sketch. Because
this is one of those instances where
the Beavis and Butthead was perfect.
The host has to really go above and beyond to truly be worthy of being MVP, at least from my perspective. And Gosling was even better than I could have hoped.
Emmy worthy, in my opinion.
Oh, if he doesn't get an Emmy nomination for this hosting set, I'll be furious.
So if the hair and makeup department does not get an Emmy.
Oh, no, for real. They deserve it. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. They did such a great job.
So that's all we have for you on this episode. Do we have any new episodes coming up? Any announcements for?
I believe it's, is it, what's her name? Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa in a dual role. Dua both.
Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Another one I have a crush on, guys. I just have a crush on the Dua Lipa.
I had a crush on her first. Okay, so back off.
I don't think so.
I did. You weren't even.
What? This is not middle school. What are you doing?
I distinctly remember having a conversation with you in the car, and you're like, no, I don't really know much
you
about
don't
Dua Lipa.
Even know who Dua Lipa
I had to
was.
Show you pictures of Dua Lipa, and then all of a sudden, a week later, you're like, you know what, guys? I think I got a crush on Dua Lipa.
Here's the crazy part, though. No, here's the crazy part. Brad did not show you pictures on his phone. He just had photos clipped out of magazines.
Well, yeah. How else? why wouldn't I? That's the best quality you're gonna get.
You unfolded them from your wallet. You were like, "This is Dua Lipa."
They definitely didn't make any cracking sounds.
I didn't know they still made Tiger Beat. But
now you know. So you learned two things: that Dua Lipa is hot, so and got, Tiger Beat is still a thing.
We've got a week off, and then we'll have the Dua Lipa episode.
I'm expecting this week, or maybe. Yeah, next week actually they'll announce the rest of the season.
We'll see, because they always do a Mother's Day episode, so I'm hopeful for that.
We'll at least get one more after Dua Lipa, and maybe three total.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Dua Lipa, this will be her third time on SNL, but the first time hosting.
Yeah,
yes,
so I'm excited.
I believe the last time she was on was Natalie Portman. Yeah,
when it was a Dua Lipa year.
Oh, you silly.
Stupid
you
son
silly.
Of a bitch.
Wow. Aggressive for a kind of easy joke that I made, but okay.
What about who on SNL has done a Dua Lipa impression?
Chloe Fineman.
No.
I mean, she does everybody, right?
Who did a Dua Lipa impression on SNL? Melissa Villaseñor?
Correct.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. Dua Lipa was on December 19th, 2020. When Kristen Wiig hosted.
There you go.
And then she was on
the Natalie Portman episode before
February 3rd, 2018 with Natalie Portman, cold open Fox and Friends,
which was a leap year.
No, it wasn't.
You don't know anything about leap years.
No, it wasn't a leap year. This year was a leap year.
So it should be fun. I'm excited about that. It's hard though because we certainly got probably the best episode.
I mean, listen, Dua Lipa's gonna, even if it's an amazing episode, I don't see how you get better than this one.
That's hard to host.
This is
after
a 10 out of 10 episode for sure.
There's ways that Dua Lipa can easily overshadow
how
Ryan
so,
Gosling.
So?
I'm not gonna say.
Cut his mic. We're very much looking forward to hearing your feedback about this episode. We're going to try to get up as soon as possible, and I just can't wait to hear what you all have to say about it.
I mean, you know that it's up by now because you're listening to it. So
I just can't wait for you guys to get it up and get it up with me.
Hey,
wait, no, cut my mic.
Hey, Brad, where can people find you online, buddy?
You can find me Googling pictures of Dua Lipa. there's always new ones. That's the best thing.
That's the best thing about Dua Lipa. There's always new photos of her.
Yeah, it's the best thing about Dua Lipa. There's always new photos of her. I can't get enough.
Oh, boy.
No, but like follow her on Instagram.
Don't follow me. Follow her.
Yeah, just follow Dua Lipa on Instagram.
Where can you find me? You can find me in the comments on her Instagram page.
Every single post that Dua Lipa makes, I just go, hey, what's up?
I'm gonna put it away from my
mouth. But no, you can find me on Twitter at Ethan_Anderton, and I also write full reviews of Saturday Night Live the day after the episode has aired, so you can check out a little more in depth my thoughts about each episode if you want to check them out before we get the episode recorded.
Where at? Can people check it out?
Slashfilm.com, in case I didn't say it. Apparently I didn't. I was too busy thinking about Dua Lipa.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, girl.
Hey, what's up? You can find me online if you want to.
Yeah, me too. More importantly, you can find us online at the10to1.com or find us on Twitter or Facebook. You can just comment. Enjoy the show. Give us a rating, a review. Let us know how we're doing. And, you know, just participate in whatever you can. We appreciate you as a listener and hope you continue on as we finish the season that we're in, season 49. So thanks so much for listening. Be good to yourself. Be good to others. Bye-bye.